The words that are chosen for this morning are found in Psalm 89, the 26th verse, and following. He, referring to the pre-incarnate Savior, the second person of the Trinity, and I'm reading in a different translation than you are probably, he shall cry to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn and the brightest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever. My covenant shall stand firm for him. His seed also will endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven." In Jesus Christ, the Bethlehem child, dear fellow redeemed. A man who owned a rent-a-Santa business strictly admonished or encouraged his employees, "When the little children sit on your lap, you can talk about a lot of things, but don't promise them anything. You can't guarantee delivery. The child may not get what you promised, and he'll have a very disappointing Christmas." How absolutely opposite of that, the fact of true Christian Christmas. God always delivers. He always fulfills his promises. Through his Old Testament prophets, he foretold the birth of the Holy Child. And on that holy night, he delivered. So then this Christmas season, I want each and every one of you to think about the threefold birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, not to be confused with his threefold coming of Advent, threefold birth. The first birth is the eternal generation of the Son from all eternity. From eternity, the second person of the Godhead was in the relationship of a son to the first person, the Father. We say he's the only begotten of the Father before all ages. He was always born of the Father, so that he could say in this text, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." There never was when he was not. Contrary to the heretic Arius, who said the second person had a beginning. And thus we confess in the Nicene Creed, and we should remember it when we confess it and don't just go through it as vain repetition. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, born, not made, being of one substance as the Father by whom all things were made. That's his first birth, the eternal generation of the Son. Now, the second birth. His second birth is his physical birth from the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, Judah, on that most holy night, becoming true man. From eternity, he was born without a father. And in time, excuse me, from eternity, he was born without a mother. And in time, he is born without a father. For God himself was his father. As he says in this text, "You are my Father, my God." The second person became a man, not by changing into humanity, not by converting the Godhead into flesh, but by taking manhood into God. The second person, the only begotten, assumed or took into himself a perfect human nature from the flesh of Mary, and so united it with himself that the two persons are undivided, the human and divine are undivided in one person, in him. Thus we can say and confess that the one that was born of the Virgin is the Almighty God. She is the Mother of God, for from her womb God pushed forth. God came forth from a woman's womb. That is the mystery of mysteries. The little child in the manger is the Almighty God, the one that rides the thunder clouds of heaven. A great and mighty wonder. But why? What's it all about? Why did God become man? The whole human race fell in Adam's fall. We were in him in seed. And when he fell, you fell, and I fell. But at Christmas time, God became man in the Holy Incarnation to raise our lost and fallen race. Let this picture, we were told yesterday that pictures don't help. I'm going to try to use one anyway. Let this picture explain. In the Pacific Northwest, there are a large number of slimy beasts that officially are known as pulmonate gastropods or something like that. But no matter what you call them, a slug is a slug, a disgusting, ugly creature that hangs around in dark, damp places. Which one of us would want to become a slug? I doubt very few. Who would exchange the human body for the banana-shaped body of a slug? The human mind for the slug mind, walking for oozing. But what if all the slugs would be doomed if a man did not become a slug? Would that make it more appealing? Would we line up to save the slugs? I rather doubt it. But that is what God did in the Holy Incarnation. He took our slug form, our worm-like being, so that we could live with him forever in heaven's fair home. Jesus became poor and lowly to raise us up to his divine glory. He took our flesh made from dust so that through unity with his divinity, he could conquer all those things that are defeating us, conquer them in himself, and make us partakers in the divine as the sons of God with an eternal existence. That wonderful treasure, one beginning in the incarnation, culminating in his great passion, is offered and announced to all by his glorious resurrection in a forensic act of justification. The whole world was declared the innocent sons of God in Christ. That was his second birth. He became man. Now his third birth. The third birth is the truth that Christ is born in us by faith so that we receive all the blessings of the incarnation. As that babe was born, true man, of the womb of the Virgin, so he is born in us in the watery womb of baptism, making us the sons of God. There, in that watery womb of baptism, faith was worked in our hearts, which trusts in the Christ child. We were born again, and he made his manger in our hearts. He is there for each and every one of us. In fact, the entire Trinity dwells within us, St. John says. That manger in our hearts is daily renewed. as we make use of the means of his coming, word and sacrament. What comfort there is then in the fact that Jesus is dwelling within us by faith, that he's made his manger within us. Because he's come to us, we too can say, as this text says, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." We have the certainty this Christmas season, with all its fleeting joys and struggles and so forth, that we have true joy in the one that dwells within us, never leaving us nor forsaking us. So this morning, regardless of your difficulty, the Holy Night offers hope. Don't despair. Regardless of your burden and struggle, regardless of what's making this Christmas season the worst one yet, there's wonderful hope. The child in the manger is the Almighty God. He died for you to give you life, and has made you his dwelling place. If he's done that already, then he's going to be with you in the hectic days ahead and in all the difficulties of life, working all for your good. That wonderful treasure he offers to you in the means of grace. So then this Christmas season, please remember the threefold birth of Christ. He is the second person, the only begotten of the Father from all eternity. The only begotten was born true man in the Virgin's Mary, in the Virgin's womb for our salvation. And three, he desires to be born in us each day through his means of grace. This is the true gift of Christmas. Amen. Let us rise and pray. Only this, Lord, I humbly pray, grant it, dearest Savior, that thou wouldst dwell in me this day and here abide forever. So let me be thy cradle blessed. Come within my heart to rest, my precious joy and treasure. Amen. We continue with the hymn.